This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Avenue Branch.
It is 12:33. Today's topic of discussion, all about a clash of cultures, or the Kim Ono scandal or catastrophe. It's all but concluded. Mm-hmm. She's back down from calling her new product range the Kimono, thanks to a whole bunch of online backlash. We're asking you whether it was marketing masterpiece or a marketing misstep. Do let us know. 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram is at BFM Radio. Moving on to our next topic of the day.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a story that came up from Fast Company, written by Annie Liao Jones of Rock Candy Media, and she says she's sick of being pigeonholed as a female CEO. I'm not your girl boss, I'm your boss, is the title. So she just talks about how she's 110% grateful for the fact that she's got a company, celebrate its 10th anniversary, and she says, along the way, you'll see how I and other women like me are flipping the script and getting pigeonholed as a you glow girl female CEO, instead of why I am a founder and a CEO, and a darn good one. I'm changing the word. Darn. So he said, encourage younger women to not hold back by offering success stories without using the word girl or even female to precede all the titles of the people you want to highlight. She said, I never once had that mindset. When I discovered my passion while working in commercial printing, I truly never thought about being in a male-dominated industry. I just wanted to kick
butt.
So was it harder for us to get where we wanted to go given systemic sexism in the business and entrepreneurial worlds? Yes. But I also suspect that you won't be treated the same as other employees if you become the top money maker. So freedom from micromanagement was my driver then, and I became the top salesperson. I learned that in my career, I'll always be competing myself for that freedom. So that keeps me from pigeonholing myself. I said, so stop calling me a female CEO and just show the world and the younger generation what I am. Secondly, our stories aren't meant to end with, you did it, girl. Okay, and she talked about how growing up in Texas, I never had the grass is greener mindset. I've never known more miserable rich people in my life. In hindsight, that was one of my biggest childhood blessings. I chose the path of no regrets, which is why I always have respect for business owners who take that first leap into the unknown when the stakes are always high. My parents also took a big risk coming to the U.S. poor. They defined what a strong work ethic was for me by becoming an American success story. If they could chuck it all and move to another country and make it all under the pressure of achieving the American dream, I had to prove that their fight was worth it, right? So she grew her company very quickly in a single year, and she said, I did something really dumb and got lucky. I created an iPhone app that was revolutionary at the time with a team I assembled in Argentina. Mashable put Rock Candy Media on the map, and when they announced it as the top nonprofit app in the country. So she says, even the best friend who's now a world famous pediatrician doesn't understand the immense responsibility we carry around. For example, during her 8 years of marriage, I started my business. As it grew, our relationship crumbled. With more success, the emasculation I didn't envision affecting me actually did. I left my husband while my daughter was too young to remember. Looking back, I think it was the best thing I could have done for her. So my story won't end until my biggest motivator disappears, people telling me I can't do something. So so I think at the end of the day, it's really about showing an example for the daughter, and like her 10-year-old daughter Googles her and finds her about this, or found out about her, right? This whole idea, though, I think we're maybe in this part of the world, we still need more role models, right? And as much as we don't like to label it, we're still at that point where we still sort of like want to say this is a great female CEO. I'm trying to change it. Like, for example, one of the people that I look up to was the former British High Commissioner to Malaysia, Her Excellency Vicky Tridell. And she was a brilliant High Commissioner. By the way, she was a woman.
Right.
Right? But there was still something, you know, she was still something that people aspire. Oh, there is a female High Commissioner. She's one of many for many nations that are here. But we need to see these stories, right? And just to have that picture, I don't like that question of how do you manage work-life balance to a woman because you don't ask that of a man. I think these are the things that we've got to stop asking. But at some time, we do have to recognize and just put them out there. So I think we're at different levels of maturity, right, in this part of the world.
The mindset.
And, and also in America, maybe we can stop doing that, right? But in this part of the world, we still need to sort of say, bring to the fact that this is a leader and she's a woman who made it. And I've had Professor Loredana from the Asia School of Business as well. And she was saying that she hates how people call her a female leader. She is a leader. And I get that, right? Yeah. We want to get to a point where you are a great leader,
yeah.
by the way, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had the discussion of mompreneurs.
Yes, yeah. And terminologies know. Like that, right? Because right. he wouldn't say poppreneur, right?
No, you
there's no such thing.
Yeah, right? You just...
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is, right?
So first of all, though, we need to get more women in the workplace, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the first
yes.
step?
And I think you want to see women representation in more things, right? Mm. Like you need more, like on a global scale, statistically, only 30% of businesses are owned by women.
Right.
Right. So we want to highlight those that have made it, right? There's 30%. And hopefully that number will be 50-50 at one point, right? Mm. And until we get there, we need to sort of like highlight these role models. So, I mean, it's this girl power, this sort of thing. Sometimes we still have to have that messaging, which is important, but we don't want to use it as a crutch. Until we get to 50-50, maybe we can stop saying these things.
Yeah. I did this thing where, so every October I go to WIT down in Singapore. And then, so last year what I did was there were a lot of my guests were sort of like quote-unquote women in business. And while doing my research for them, I found that a lot of other interviews would ask them like, what's it like being a woman in business? You know, what's it like being a female entrepreneur and stuff? Instead of asking them that question, I asked all of them, like, do you like that question? Because while doing research on you, I saw that a lot of people ask you this question in all of your interviews. Like, do you like that question? And almost each and every one of them said that they don't. They're like, we don't like the question because it doesn't make a difference. Mm. Why would you ask us that? It's the same as, you know, being a man in business is being the same as being a woman in business. Like, what difference does it make? Like, why would you need to pick us out, like separate right. us from the pack and ask us, like, what's it like being you in this field?
Okay, so I like to preface that question, right? Mm. Like I said, I don't ask the work-life balance. And I'll ask them as well, you know, has being a woman ever affected you in business? Because we've heard of cases of how women don't get funding as much as men, mm-hmm. and the harassment, the sexual harassment that goes on,
yes.
right? Because, and like, I'll give you funding only if you want. That also happens with women more than men, right? So I do sort of preface that question and saying why I'm asking that question, because is it more difficult to enter? Is it more difficult to get funding because you're a woman? So that sort of question I will ask.
Mm-hmm. Because that's an actual problem,
right?
Because there's a very real problem in the whole industry. But yeah, so it's interesting. It's interesting, what do you call it, point of view.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a short break. We've got music coming up next from Crowded House with Something So Strong. When we come back, our final story of the day for Gen Zers. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going with?
Gen Zers, yeah.
Zers.
Yeah.
Creating a brand is part of growing up. But of course, if you'd like to join the topic of discussion, the clash of cultures, the Kim Ono, how Kim Kardashian West has finally backed down about naming her new shapewear and intimates line Kimono after a flood of backlash online, and even a letter from the mayor of Kyoto. Is it a marketing masterpiece or a marketing misstep? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.